Midtown Sports.
Headlines.
Happy Thursday, I'm Simone, and these are your Sacktown Sports headlines. After Wild Card Wednesday, we have four teams advancing into the divisional rounds of the MLB postseason. Rangers capped the Rays 7-1.
He struck him out looking and the ball game's over.
Twins move forward with their 2-0 victory over the Blue Jays.
He struck him out! Twins win! Twins win!
Diamondbacks strike down the Brewers 5-2.
And he struck him out swinging! And the Arizona Diamondbacks will advance to the next round of the postseason.
And the Phillies hook the Marlins 7-1.
100 miles an hour, and Chisholm takes it for strike three. And the Phillies take the wild card series, sweeping Miami.
And tonight, Chicago Bears prowling for their first win of the season as they square up with the Commanders from FedEx Field. We've got pregame festivities jumping off at 4:30 with kickoff scheduled for 5:15 right here on Sacktown Sports. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Welcome back in to The Drive, guys.
The only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, Drive Guys back with you. Kyle Draper, we have an early nominee here for YouTube chat comment of the day from Rare Tin. Rare Tin says, we are pleased to welcome in episode 2 of A New Era with Gleason and Draper. Honorable mention, surprise host Simone J. Johnson, thank you to all of you to help me get through my day. How about that?
Right off the rip, huh? Yeah. I love that. That's the kind of energy we need,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. We take you up to what a Monday night game we have for you tonight right here. Bears and the Commanders, you know, when those two get together. Look out, Kyle.
This might be the Bears' first win, though. That's a team desperately in need of a win.
It might also be their coach's last
game.
Right,
that's true. And I know we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is like the NFL this season is putting itself to a test that it's Teflon proof. You know, like no matter what goes on, people will watch because there's been some awful games this season, some awful matchups, and I'm interested to see the numbers. And I'm not a big fan of the Amazon Prime. I got to go search for it kind of Thursday night game. And so I can't wait to see the numbers from tonight's matchup.
I'll bet Roger Goodell can wait to see those numbers. But anyway, it's football. And also today, the NBA preseason getting underway in Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi.
Right?
Yeah.
You heard Giannis' joke about Abu Dhabi? You've heard that
no,
joke.
No, tell me, please.
This is Giannis' joke. He says, people in Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but people in Abu Dhabi do. That was Giannis' joke.
It wasn't my dad joke.
Ba-doom, yeah, boom, boom. It was a Giannis joke. About a year ago, he had that.
That's pretty sweet.
But I know that Kyle Draper saw the first game, Minnesota over Dallas, 111-99, and he's already leaping to conclusions about this NBA season.
Yeah, you know, Dallas is like, the Dallas Mavericks are like the Dallas Cowboys. They get all the publicity, all the talk, all the national attention. This is going to be their year. They're going to win 50 games. And what I saw today, I'm already confident in saying the Mavericks will underachieve severely. Because when I watch that team, it's nothing different than what we saw last season when Kyrie and Luka got together. The 16 games they played together, I think they were 5-11 over those 16 games. But it's Luka dribbling the ball, Luka getting his numbers, and then it's Kyrie's turn. They don't look like a cohesive team. And so we had the discussion yesterday, who's a team you're worried about or who's a team you're... I'm not worried about the Dallas Mavericks one bit. Sure, they get the headlines. Sure, they have the names. But this isn't NBA 2K. This isn't All-Star Weekend or anything like that. They don't seem to be a team to me. And, you know, I understand I like Jason Kidd as a coach. I like Kyrie and Luka as individual players. I just don't like the combination. I don't like their roster in Dallas.
Now, when you say they're going to underachieve, I know the over-under for them, and your numbers may vary depending on where you're finding them, but their over-under for wins 44.5. So you're saying when you say they're underachieving, you say they're not going to approach that?
No, I don't think so. I think they're a 40-win team. I think they're at best a play-in team, maybe a 9 or 10 seed, something like that. I mean, if you also look at those over-under numbers, I think the Sacramento Kings were right around the same, right, at 40. So there's no way that they're in the same category in the same league as the Sacramento Kings.
Less, and
so here's the thing. What upsets me about the when I watch the Dallas Mavericks, you cannot tell me that they have a shot at making the NBA Finals. With that roster, the way they look, like, they're probably the eighth, ninth. So they have no hope. And you're talking about Luka Doncic, you know, a great player. Kyrie, future Hall of Famer. But let's be honest, their season's already over.
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. They're not a contender. We can agree on that.
Right.
Not a legitimate contender. Last year, they were, what, 38-44? And that was after deciding late in the year. They just decided, what the heck. We'll tank the rest of the way, get a better draft pick. But I do like some of the things they did. Now, it's not worth time quibbling about because I agree with you. They're not a threat. I think Grant Williams is a good fit for the way they play. They got Olivia Maxence Prosper, Derek Lively. They made some nice picks. But ultimately, I agree with you. That's a franchise that spends so much time bending over backwards to make sure Luka's happy. So you won't leave, will you, Luka? And then they're at cross purposes. And he may be happy, but their team isn't good enough to be a threat in a West that, as we all know and say it every year, is just very competitive.
Yeah, the West is very competitive. And thanks to you, you printed out this handy-dandy box score.
Of course.
And I'm not going to go box score surfing. That's not what I do. But what I see is
Luka's doesn't sound like he appreciates it, but it does.
Luka's going to be great. He's going to be awesome. He's going to get his. But outside of Luka today, the rest of the starters, Grant Williams, Maxence Prosper, Derek Lively, and Kyrie, they were a combined 4 of 18 from the field. Luka's going to put up numbers. He's going to be great. He's going to be an all-star. But I don't think it's going to lead to wins.
They were playing in the middle of the desert
today,
weren't
they? Matter,
like
though.
In the sand dunes with the baskets sticking out of the...
But
the
Whitey, who would you rather be? It's the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be the Minnesota Timberwolves at this hour, at this second, who had a great first preseason game than the Dallas Mavericks, who looked awful today.
I'm with you, but it's close. I mean, I'm with you. I'd rather be Minnesota, but I don't think they're a threat to do anything anyway. And I don't think they've addressed their central problem, which is, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert. Today they won a preseason opener. But I just think it's tough to have those two guys on the floor at the same time.
So let me ask you this, and I hear you, and I understand that. Then how come it's okay for the Kings to have Sabonis and Alex Lynn on the floor together, or Sabonis and JaVale McGee? Karl Anthony Towns is the best shooting big in the entire NBA. Rudy Gobert, a tremendous shot blocker. I don't think we got to see them enough. Like, I thought the sample size was too small before everybody wrote it off.
I just don't know how Karl Anthony Towns is going to guard fours. And to answer your question, obviously, those guys start for Minnesota. They got Cat and the Stifle Tower. Do you prefer Stifle Tower or the French Rejection?
I like Stifle Tower.
Okay.
I'm a Stifle Tower guy.
Gotcha. Yeah. So they have the Stifle Tower and Cat on the floor when they start the game, and their plan is to have them on the floor a lot. And for the Kings, they're talking about maybe Domas and Len. Domas and JaVale McGee is kind of a changeup, so that's a difference.
I think, and we're looking at this Minnesota Timberwolves team, and let's not forget, their best player is Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
And so you don't need a whole lot from Rudy Gobert. You just need solid defense.
He didn't play today, did he, Ant-Man?
No, he didn't even play today. To your point, it's going to come down to Karl Anthony Towns on the defensive end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can he keep up with those fours? You know, it depends on matchups, though. You look at a Golden State Warriors, they're talking about putting Klay Thompson at four. So then I don't think it definitely works defensively to have Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert guarding Klay Thompson, you know, at the four. But, you know, some of the other teams I think you can guard. And so I don't know. But you got to make them pay on the other end as well. I think Minnesota is going to surprise some teams
all
this
right.
year.
When they acquired Rudy Gobert, my first question was, who is Karl Anthony Towns going to guard? You know what the answer is? The same person he always guards.
Nobody. No way, right? He's not a defender. He'll get you his 20 to 25 points, but he'll give up 30 on the other end. That's why you get a Rudy Gobert, a defensive center, to play alongside him.
I'm with you on Dallas. I don't think they're a threat. I do think they have a chance to be better than last year, but you know the team that I say they're going to underachieve, the team that's going to underperform, I'd bet money on, maybe not my money, somebody else's money. But you're not going to like this, I know, from the conversation we had yesterday. The team in the West that bank on it, they're going to underperform, is the Suns. Their over-under is 52.5.
You sound like John Hollinger to me.
I
think the
Suns. They won 45 games last year.
But Devin Booker only played 53 games last year or whatever it was. He
is
was
that
out.
A good thing?
Exactly. I think he's going to be healthier this season.
Durant and Beal combined over the last 2 years, let's see, they've missed 136 games over the last 2 years. So, yeah, maybe this year they're fine, but that's a bad sign for that team.
That's a bad sign, but that's why you go out there and get a Brad Beal, so that if you're missing one, you still have a big two. It isn't on Kevin Durant to do everything. It won't be on Devin Booker to do everything. I would say on any given night, you're going to have two of those
they're
three guys.
Team. Don't give me, I'm not saying team. They stink. I'm not saying they stink, but I don't think they're going to be, you know,
52 and a half. So what do you got them at then? Like, are they a 46 win team? Or I don't think
around 48. 52, as you know, and you know this better than I do, 52 in the West, that's not nothing. I think last year the only team that won more than that was Denver. I'm not mistaken.
But I think last year was kind of an outlier. I think there's actually a little more separation this year. I don't think, you know, I think teams like New Orleans, depending on Zion, you know, I just think Golden State, they'll be a little farther back than they were last year. I actually like the moves Phoenix made. And the thing about Phoenix, though, Whitey, they didn't make these moves for October, November, and December. They're trying to win a championship. And so you may be right. They may not win 52 and a half games, but you can't tell me that they aren't the second choice in the Western Conference.
What I can tell you is I am not sold on Nurkic whatsoever. If he plays,
you're talking a fourth or fifth option. What do you want from the dude?
Well, they're a little thin, are they not? So they're going to need a lot from their non-superstar threesome, and I don't think they're going to get much from him. And I understand, as you said yesterday, Nurkic doesn't need the ball, doesn't need as many touches as Ayton. I get that, but Ayton's a way better player than Nurkic, and you just have to cross your fingers that he, like half the rest of the roster, is going to be healthy enough to actually play in the games.
But you can say that about anybody. You can say that about every team. You look at, you know, Denver, they're one injury away. Don't let Murray or Jokic go down. Their season's over.
But Phoenix's guys have been injured. I mean, they have an injury history. It's true. You know, the Kings last year were very healthy. What happens if this guy gets hurt or that guy? These guys have injury histories, plural.
But that's why you add, like I said, a Bradley Beal. Because Kevin Durant, he's probably going to miss some time. He's going to miss 10 to 15 games probably. But then you got Brad Beal. Brad Beal is going to miss 10 games, sure. But then you got Devin Booker. And so they're banking on two of the three to be out there at any given moment. And you could argue, you know what's happening? I think you're underestimating who Brad Beal is. He was playing on a bad Washington team. He, you know, it was checked out probably, didn't get... But when they were competing in the Eastern Conference, he was a problem. He was the truth. And now you're talking about Brad Beal as your third option? Name me a team in the NBA with a better third option. Not talking about a big two. I'm talking about a big three. A better third option than Bradley Beal.
I will do that for you when we come right back. Take a quick break. It's the Drive Guys, Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason. Just getting going. Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
Drive, guys. Taking today up to Monday Night Football. We have that game for you, the Washington Commanders. Do you like that name, by the way? You know, they were, of course, the name that was offensive to people. Then they were just the Washington Football Team. The Washington Commanders, because the newer ownership has suggested maybe we'll revisit that as well.
I'm not a big fan of the name. Whenever I talk about them, I say Washington. I don't even include the Commanders because it just doesn't roll off the tongue just yet. So maybe they'll change it again. I'm going to just stick with Washington right now. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Washington against the always colorful, always entertaining Chicago Bears tonight. We have that game for you. But we're talking about the NBA, the preseason underway with the Dallas Mavericks today, falling to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Kyle Draper and I disagreeing on the team in the NBA that is most likely, in our minds, the lock to underperform this year. Kyle went with the Mavericks, an obvious just knee-jerk overreaction to the first
right. preseason That's exactly
game of the
what
year.
I do.
I
you
expected
know?
Better from
I didn't watch them at all last season. Kyrie and Luka weren't 5-11 when they played together.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got it on now. They're down 46-23, right?
Right.
Oh, well, they're going to be terrible. No, but you asked the question. Seriously, you asked the question, who has a better third option than Phoenix? And I said I would answer that because you were saying Bradley Beal.
Yes.
The only thing I have there, obviously, is Drew Holiday. And I like Drew Holiday more than Bradley Beal. As a scoring option, probably not. As an overall player, yes. And Drew Holiday is an underrated offensive player.
I love Drew Holiday. I'm president of his fan club. But I think you're forgetting who Bradley Beal is because he's been playing in Washington. No, you know, the last few seasons, they've been awful. They've been terrible. Nobody, you know, they're not on national TV. They're not in the headlines. They're not in the news at all. But Bradley Beal is still an elite scorer, and he's only 29 years old. And we're talking about a third option. And Drew Holiday is a great two-way player. But if you look at Drew Holiday's numbers, as great as Drew Holiday is, his production actually went down in the postseason. It's not like he raised his game.
What would Bradley Beal know about the postseason?
He's been there before. Mm-hmm. Him and John Wall made the postseason mm-hmm. a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was in Boston. We had a series against the Wizards. Mm-hmm. But that's been a poorly run organization in terms of roster creation. And so you can't blame Bradley Beal for that. Bradley Beal has been loyal to that team. He sort of followed the Dame Lillard path. He could have requested a trade 5 years ago and been playing on the biggest of stages. Just because he didn't make the playoffs, that's not a reflection of him. That's a reflection of management, in my opinion.
Yeah, I understand that. I'd accept that. I'm not going to push back on that. I do think that he's not going to be, and this is pretty obvious, probably not going to be as prolific a scorer when he's playing with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. So then the other things that he does for you are going to be more important. I do think that Bradley Beal is probably underrated as a point guard, if I'm being honest. He's played a little point. I don't think he's a great point guard, but I do think last year he played a little point. I think he was better at that than I thought he'd be. And they're going to need, you know, all hands on deck as far as that goes.
Yeah, they're going to need that. And I do think Bradley Beal can handle the rock. And you say his numbers will dip, but his efficiency might actually go up.
Fair enough.
Think about the looks he's going to get. He's not going to have to average 28, 29 points. He'll get his 20 points per game, I think, as the third option on that team. I got KD right around 28. I got Booker right around 28. And Brad Beal right around 20. Just the looks that he's going to get alongside those guys. And when you look at, you know, his last few years in Washington, I'm going to pull it up right here, 23 points per game, 23 points per game. But then before that, 31 points, 30.5. This is an elite scorer in the NBA.
I saw probably one of his best games that year. The Warriors had that gap year where they were terrible.
Yeah.
They played the Wizards in March, and they came in to San Francisco, and there was a lot of talk that maybe Beal ends up going to the Warriors, so he might have been showcasing himself. I think he had 45. He was phenomenal. Mm. But
yeah.
He's just not going to be able to be as ball dominant on this team, and I don't think he wants to be either.
Yeah, I just think, you know, when you look at the big three that Phoenix has, this is a much better big three than what Kevin Durant had in Brooklyn. Devin Booker is, you know, doesn't need the ball. He's more than happy to facilitate, he's not a gunner, you know, like James Harden or like Kyrie, you know. And I think Brad Beal, to that extent, I mean, I know his three-point percentage numbers have been down, but this is a guy who one season shot 41% from three, 40%. And the last 3 or 4 years, he's had to do it all by himself. Who's been his best player that he's played with? Kristaps Porzingis?
Him or Russ, but I'd say
yeah,
Porzingis.
Him or Russ. You know, yeah. I just think, you know, this will be a resurgent Brad Beal from what we see. And you talk about the health situation, and I'm not sure about the medical staff in Phoenix now, but historically, I know in the past they've had a great medical staff. They've been, you know.
With Shaq
with Shaq. I don't know if those guys are still around, the same medical staff or anything like that, but, you know, they kept Chris Paul out there most of the season last year, you know, until the playoffs when he got hurt. And so I think Phoenix, 52.5 is a lot, but I got them right there. I think they're second in the West.
And you mentioned you were poking fun of me, comparing me to Hollinger, but obviously you saw the piece. Hollinger today in The Athletic, he picked a handful of teams that he thinks will underperform. One of them are the Kings, and we'll get to that. But yeah, he's not high on the Suns either.
Well, here's the thing about Hollinger, and you know, I read that article, and he's cut from the same cloth as my guy Kevin O'Connor at the Ringer.
Analytics.
You know, they're analytics. They're numbers guys. And, you know, the biggest thing they said about the Kings, and I know we're going to talk about that a little later, is the health factor. And so everybody is saying, oh, they can't be this healthy again this season. Well, how come we can't say, you know, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal can't, you know, have a healthy season? Like, they've been banged up the last few years. Maybe this is the year they return to health. You know, Brad Beal, he has a couple of 82-game seasons under his belt. So, and I would also argue, Whitey, and this point, please don't let this, you know, go without notice. When you're competing for a championship, all of a sudden, the same bumps and bruises that keep you out of games in March and April, you play through that. And so 50 games might turn into 60 games for Brad Beal. You know, 55 might turn into 65 because there's something to play for. Positioning, seeding, you're playing for a championship. And so, you know, look at Dame Lillard last year. I mean, people say, oh, he was hurt last year. Well, Dame came out in the Chris Haynes article and said that the team told him to shut it down the last 11 games. And so that won't happen this year with the Phoenix Suns.
To your point, that's one reason why I will always admire Devin Booker in the finals. Yeah. Was it the finals or the conference finals? When he broke his nose, and his nose was, you know, smashed across his face, and he strapped it up and played through that.
Yes.
You can see. It wasn't just chipped or something. It was like smashed in his face, and he played through that. That was incredible.
He's one of those guys that just loves to hoop, too.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Edwards is in that same category. And it'll be interesting to see with the NBA's new resting rules, too. You know, who sits out, who doesn't sit out.
You see what Kawhi said about that?
Yeah, I did see. He said,
it's not going to make any
yeah. Like, he's saying he was legitimately hurt. Yeah, you know, I mean, he could have probably played through some of that. But, and if you want to be eligible for the postseason awards, you got the 65-game threshold, too. So I want to see how that impacts guys, you know, whether they rest or play. Like, all of a sudden, is LeBron going to play 70 games this season? When he only played, what, 53, I think it was, or 55 this past year?
If I'm the Kings, I hope he plays a lot of games in the regular season. A ton of games. Don't you?
So he can be gassed come the postseason. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's another team. We agreed on that yesterday. The Lakers, nobody likes it, but they're a team that looks like they could be really good this year.
Yeah, I like the pieces they added. They got some size. They added some shooting, athleticism, and they'll be a force to be reckoned with. You know, you looked at the trade deadline. You know, when you look at the Lakers last season, it's before the trade deadline and after that. They were a different team the second half of the season. They made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Sure, they got smoked by Denver, but Denver was running through everybody. You know, Phoenix is the one team that gave Denver the you know, toughest matchup. Now you add in the Brad Beal, I think it's going to be a heck of a series.
Yeah, just to put a bow on it, because I know there aren't a lot of Suns fans around here, but since we're talking about Phoenix, how good are they? Hollinger makes, I think, an interesting point. He points out that, okay, you got Durant and Beal, but remember, you don't have Bridges and Paul anymore, and those guys actually played well. And they played a lot of minutes. So it's not just, you're not just adding to the team that they had last year. You're losing a couple guys, obviously. You had to get rid of some guys to bring Durant in. So they're not just adding pieces to the good team they had last year. They're losing some good players too. So when you talk about 52 and a half, to me, that's awfully lofty, and I don't think they're going to get there.
That's a lot, but I don't think they'll miss it by much. I think, you know, this might be Kevin Durant's last best chance at a championship. And, you know, I know the West is tough. I get that. But, man, they have so much firepower. They added a little bit of depth. Like, the rest of the roster is better than I think people are giving them credit for. They added some veterans out there. Eric Gordon's on the team now. And so, I think Phoenix is a 50-win team. I think Denver's a 50-win team. And I think our Sacramento Kings will be knocking on the door as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we said, one of the teams Hollinger says will underperform this year, Sacramento Kings. We will get to that. But coming up next, Kyle Shanahan says to call Purdy a system quarterback. He says it's ridiculous, but is it really? That's next with Kyle Draper. Whitey Gleason, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
Welcome back. Look, I know Kyle Draper and I are disagreeing on things. We do that. That's okay. But I got to say this. We got somebody on the chat here, and they crossed the line, Kyle. Not on my watch.
What did they say?
Not on my watch. This is from Patrick Donaldson. Draper wearing his son's jersey under that shirt. LOL.
How'd you know? Darn it. Rats. He got me. Come on. See, I'm an unbiased observer. Like most of you out there on the YouTube chat driving right now, I'm going to tell you my honest opinion. I like the Suns roster. I think, you know, I think bringing in Nurkic, and I know, you know, he has some defensive liabilities, but I think Ayton, the locker room culture, obviously he, you know, wasn't happy the last couple of years. I think it's addition by subtraction for that team. And so you may say Ayton's a better player. Yes. But I think for that team, Nurkic will serve to be better.
I understand that. Arthur Smith says, I think Portland will get a bit more out of Ayton than the Suns did, especially going young, but still won't make the playoffs, but better fits up there slowly. So, yeah, Portland, obviously they're nowhere near where they want to be yet, but that looks like they could be a really fun team to watch this year.
No, they're going to be fun. They got some Scoot, you know, Shaedon Sharpe, you know, Anthony Simons, you know, who was playing great. Before Dame Lillard came back last season. And so they're one of the exciting teams in the NBA. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Ayton, I can't figure out. I know he's got tremendous potential, and you see flashes of it, but there's times when it's like, is he there? Is he – yeah.
Right, and he's the kind of guy, and we've talked about it, you know, with other guys, he just needed a fresh start. And, he's going to be an option on that team. You know, maybe the second option behind a Scoot.
Chris Paul made him really good.
Yeah,
seriously.
Chris Paul made him good, exactly. But then you bring in a Kevin Durant, and, you know, he falls, you know, farther down on the pecking order, and I don't think he was too happy with that. You know, he could be an 18-10 guy, a 20-10 guy for Portland.
Now, you've got Sunday night, of course. We've got the Cowboys and the 49ers. Hear that game here, Sactown Sports. And you've got, Kyle, the Kings pregame opener in Vancouver, no matter what people tell you, against Toronto. Have you got all your homework for that game done yet?
Yes, I'm doing some prep work. I still got a few more things to dive into. But first of all, I'm trying to figure out how am I going to watch that game, actually, because I was looking on the tube today, and it's not going to be on NBA TV. So I may have to listen to my guy G-Man right here on Sactown Sports 1140 to get the real flavor of what's happening up there in Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah, seriously. I don't think it's on TV this weekend.
Oh, okay. I assumed it was on
NBC?
Yeah.
Nah, don't get me started.
In fact, I thought I looked it up, but I guess I
No, we are doing one preseason game, and it's the home game the following weekend against the Golden State Warriors with yours truly and Katie on the call for that one.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I apologize. Yeah, I thought you were Okay. So we do have the 49ers and the Cowboys. You can always watch that.
Yeah.
This is what Kyle Shanahan has to say about this notion that Brock Purdy is just a system quarterback. And it's funny. It seems that even we talked about this and we talk about it. Even people that are coming around on Brock Purdy, some of them are saying they're qualifying it. Yeah, he's pretty good for a system quarterback. You know, I understand that. But here's what Kyle said about it yesterday. Quote, that's pretty ridiculous. You just have to watch the tape. He plays at a high level every time he's been out there in a lot of different situations versus a lot of different defenses on the road, at home, in playoff games, when injured. You can't do all that stuff. He's been out there too long. It's on tape. And I understand why he's a little defensive, but aren't the good quarterbacks, aren't they all in a way system quarterbacks? I mean, if you pick a quarterback, draft him, sign him, trade for him, and he doesn't fit your system, you're an idiot. He's got to fit what you're doing and how you do it.
100% right. And I always say, you know, when people talk about great coaches, well, you're not a great coach unless you have great players. And the same thing, as the all-time great quarterbacks, they've had great coaches, great systems. You know, Dan Marino, was he a system quarterback? You know, look at the way he threw it around and the talent he had around him. John Elway, you know, You know, Tom Brady, was he a system quarterback? The only thing I'll say about Tom Brady is he won in multiple. Then he went to Tampa and won as well.
Right.
The thing about Brock Purdy, and you know, I did some research. I did some digging because, you know, I was hard on this guy early on. You know, I called him Linsanity, the Jeremy Lin of the NFL.
I had to pretend I was mad when you said it, but it's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny, right? But, you know, he's proven me wrong because he's come out there and done it this season as well. But the Brock Purdy we're seeing in San Francisco is pretty much the Brock Purdy they saw at Iowa State, the Brock Purdy they saw in high school as well. The only difference is he's not turning the ball over, no interceptions. I think in his senior year at Iowa State, he had 8 interceptions.
Yeah, he threw the ball all over
the place. Yeah, he threw the ball all over
the place.
He's
like Steph Curry.
But he had a 71% completion percentage, so his accuracy has always been there. So going 20 of 21, when you have – that kind of accuracy and that kind of weapons and that kind of coaching, it's a perfect storm to get the best of Brock Purdy. Now, if he was in Chicago, will we be seeing the same guy? Maybe not. Probably not. But
probably glimpses of it, right?
Glimpses,
every so
though,
often
glimpses.
You say, oh, that was
yeah,
a good play.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, to call him a system quarterback, I understand Shanahan's a little offended, but you can argue that the system is great for him. The talent around him is great. That does play a factor. I don't think he would be trash if he went somewhere else, but he wouldn't be this great.
That's why they drafted him.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this guy, wow, he knows he can do the things we need quarterbacks to do. That said, we talked about this a little bit with Zachariah and with Chris Watkins, Waddy. Who does Brock Purdy remind you of? Let me just throw it out there. I'd love to know what you think. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. There's no wrong answer, right? It's just who does he remind you of? Because it is true, in my mind, he's a difficult guy to compare because he's unique in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and I was driving in, and I woke up this morning, and we talked about this in our rundown, and I'm like, who does he remind me of? He's not, obviously, Steve Young or Jeff Garcia or anything like that. I don't think he's a statue behind the pocket either. And I'm not talking about wins and losses and results. I'm talking about when he gets the ball in his hands, who does he look like after he takes the snap? Drew Brees, you know, that there's been some. Maybe Peyton Manning a little. No, but Peyton was more of a statue. He didn't scramble. He couldn't buy time with his legs as much as a Brock Purdy. A young Tom Brady, I think that's a good comparison. Tom Brady, you know, very good at getting the ball out quickly.
They're very good similar in that as soon as they started, they're like, wow, who is that guy? He's really good.
And Tom Brady was a great decision maker with the football, and that's where I see Brock Purdy is. But from a physical standpoint, I think Brock Purdy has a stronger arm than Tom Brady, and so I don't want to make that comparison. I just have Drew Brees. That's the one I keep coming back to.
He reminds me of Joe Montana, okay? And I know Zachariah was talking about this, and I'm not saying he's better than Joe Montana or he's going to be better than Joe Montana. And a lot of it is just the uniform, but seeing a smaller guy who wasn't as highly touted. Joe Montana was, of course, he went to Notre Dame and he was a third round pick. And this guy went to a smaller school without the football history and was the last guy picked in the draft. So it's an imperfect comparison. But to see a guy that wasn't just considered an elite prospect winning, it reminds me of Joe Montana, and also the decision making and the sense I get anyway of watching, not being there in the huddle, of the poise he has and the command of the situation. That reminds me of Joe Montana.
You're talking arguably the best quarterback in the history of football.
You just compared him to Tom Brady.
Second best.
And I said, oh, okay. But I go, Joe Montana, and you're saying, whoa, hold on.
I just, because Joe Montana is the holy grail around here. He's,
sure.
You know, you can't, like, to compare somebody to Joe freaking.
It's what it reminds
Joe
me
Montana?
Of. Yeah, it's what it reminds
Joe
me
Joe Montana?
You mentioned Jeff Garcia. I see a little bit of that, just size-wise. But Jeff Garcia sometimes looked a little almost fidgety back there in the pocket. And he was very effective, and he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. I know all that. But Brock Purdy's like, he's just got everything under control. They used to call, it was kind of a dumb nickname, but they used to call Joe Montana Joe Cool because it just seemed like, I got it.
Yep,
and that's the similarity there. I don't know if he's going to win even one Super Bowl. Joe Montana won 4, but that's the similarity. A smaller guy who just seems like he has a knack for recognizing where the ball needs to go, and he has a knack for getting it there.
Yeah, and that's the one thing you hear from people when they speak of Brock Purdy, and I want to hear from you guys out there, 916-339-1140. It's his decision-making. It's his demeanor. It's the quiet confidence that he has. You know, there's a story out there about, you know, how Alabama was recruiting him, Nick Saban was recruiting him, and when he met with Nick Saban, Nick Saban talked about, you know, how inaccurate Brock Purdy was. And Brock Purdy said, that shows me this guy hasn't watched a single, you know, second of me, because accuracy is his thing, you know. And so decision-making has always been his thing. And I think, you know, when you watch Brock Purdy, I think that Joe Cool thing that you talk about when it comes to Joe, I see a little bit of that. I just hate mentioning Montana and Purdy in the same. And I got to put a pause, a period, or something between
those
two
names.
You
got a guy that won 4 Super Bowls and a guy that's started 13 games, whatever it is. I get that. But that's who I'm reminded of. On the text line here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. From the 916, here's another one I'd never heard before. He reminds me of Terry Bradshaw. Maybe not quite as tough, but as a tough competitor.
Man, that's going back. Yeah. That's you know, I was born when Bradshaw was, but I don't remember Bradshaw.
The game was so different.
Yeah, the game was so different.
I mean, Terry Bradshaw never had completion percentages anywhere near what Brock Purdy's putting up. Nobody did.
Yeah.
Nobody did. He did have the weapons. Terry Bradshaw had a lot of weapons, and he won. From the 209, way too much love for Purdy.
Wow.
Yeah. Has never beaten a decent team. Dink and dunk, that's all he does.
What?
Dink and dunk, that's all he does.
He called him Dink and Dunk. That's awesome. No, and that's a Raiders fan chiming in, I would imagine, or somebody like that, a Seahawks fan chiming in. But even me, the most noted Brock Purdy hater, you know, around, can honestly say he's doing everything you ask him to do. And sure, he may not be passing for 400 yards. He may not be, you know, averaging 15 yards per completion or whatever it may be, but he's doing everything, and so it's hard to knock him right now.
20 for 21 in the last game, and they weren't all dinks and dunks. They weren't.
And you know, he's made some plays, you know, when he scrambled, buying time with the legs, going left, throwing right. You know, I think his arm is stronger than a lot of people want to admit, too. Like, he has a cannon on it, I think.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Who does Brock Purdy remind you of? It's amazing to me. We've heard Troy Aikman. Today, a new one, Terry Bradshaw. What do you got? You with me on Joe, by the way? We're going to show, as 49er fans, we're going to show Kyle Draper what Joe Montana and Brock Purdy were all about, what playing quarterback in the Bay is all about. So we got that coming up. Also, we're going to talk about Bay Area now with a WNBA team. How come we don't have one? That more coming up on The Drive, guys, Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sactown Sports.
Speaking of, Drive Guys here, Whitey and Kyle Draper. Huge game, of course, for the 49ers and for Brock Purdy, who's in about as bright of a national spotlight this week as he's ever been in. So who does Brock Purdy remind you of as we watch this incredible story unfold? He's a difficult guy to find comparisons for, isn't he? I got Joe Montana. And Kyle says that's going too far, but you went with Tom Brady. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Before we get to the phones real quickly here on the text line, someone mentioned Terry Bradshaw from the 916. Bradshaw and all the quarterbacks in that era, they didn't have the completion percentage because defenses could knock down the receivers, mug the receivers. Bradshaw said he was dumb, but he always made smart plays. I'm a Raider fan. And that guy just has a knack for finding the right receiver at the right time. That's the similarity I see between, he says, Bradshaw and Brock Purdy.
All right, I'm going to trust him. I can't, you know, Bradshaw was just a little bit before my time, so I don't want to put my foot in the mouth there. But I like that comparison.
But, of course, Montana and Bradshaw both won multiple.
Right, multiple Super Bowls. And so, to me, you know, Brock Purdy is doing everything right, everything you can ask for. He's one of the top 10, 15 quarterbacks in the NFL. Just keep it going.
Yeah.
Just keep
not it according going to the Ringer, though.
I know.
Joe Montana gets a mention from the 925. So does Richard Simmons, but I think we can skip over that from the 530. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. John, you're on the drive with Cal Draper, Whitey Gleason. What's up?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm going to kind of take you back a little bit, since you said there's no wrong answer.
Uh-oh.
How about Doug Flutie?
Well, how about Doug Flutie? Doug Flutie, he underachieved, didn't he, really, ultimately, as an NFL player?
Well, I think he wasn't on that great of teams at the time, but I think because of the stature, the way that he threw the ball and, you know, just his presence, I mean, yeah, he didn't go very far, but I'm just looking at the size, the way that they pass, the way that they look at stuff, and it's just kind of an odd thing that, you know, you can't really compare him to Montana or Bradshaw or any of them guys. But somebody like Flutie, who's actually kind of the same size, doesn't run the greatest, but he could run. It's just kind of a weird thing. It just kind of came to mind, and since you said there's no wrong answer, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Got you. Thank you, John.
Right,
yeah, Flutie, I thought, you know, in my mind as John was talking, I'm thinking Flutie was like 5'8 or something. He's listed at 5'10.
Wow.
I think Purdy's 5'11, but I've never in my mind made that comparison before.
No, I think of Flutie as a smaller quarterback, more mobile with his legs than Brock Purdy. And so we did say no wrong answers, so I'm not going to shoot down John's take on that, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing that.
You know where Doug Flutie really made a name for himself was in the Canadian Football League, and I know that because he came here when Sacramento had a team in the CFL, and the first game they played here was against the Calgary Stampeders, and Doug Flutie and the Stampeders came in, and the place was packed. So that's the big difference. Doug Flutie never quite found his niche in the NFL, and Brock Purdy so far has had no problem with that.
Yeah, no problem. Very different circumstances surrounding those two quarterbacks. You know, I'm just going down the list and just trying to think of comparisons. Joe Flacco, I don't know. I mean, it's tough, right? You know, who do you say? I'm looking at Joe Flacco. He was, I don't have his height. They list Brock Purdy at 6'1".
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they list him at 6'1". Okay. So he's listed a little taller. And so that's why I was thinking, all right, maybe obviously somebody taller than a Flutie or something like that. Maybe a Flacco or Trent Dilfer. I don't know. It's hard to come up with somebody.
Try this on. I think one of the reasons it's hard to come up with comps for him is he is something of a system quarterback, but he's just hyper efficient at it.
Right.
So
right.
It's not because he's limited at it. He's just really good at it.
Yeah.
And he's a game manager, but you know what? That's a really important skill for any quarterback. Tom Brady, we don't think of him as a game manager, but he's pretty good at managing the game,
he was great at that. And, you know, somebody on the YouTube chat said Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't see it. I think, you know, that two different quarterbacks,
right.
I feel
Ben
like.
Ben can make a play on his own when he needed to with
his
size.
With his size and his physicality. This is a tough question, though. This is a great question. Who is Brock Purdy? Who's his comparison out there?
Yeah, Pike 916 says, to me, Purdy's more like Steve Young. And again, no wrong answers, but I don't see that.
No, Young could dominate you with his
accurate passer. I'll give
legs
you that.
Too, though. You know, I was thinking Warren Moon. You know, we could throw
Warren
anybody
Moon
out there.
Pure.
Yeah, he was pure. Yeah, you could throw anybody out there.
Maybe
really.
We'll have a clearer idea in another year or two. Maybe Purdy will continue
couple Super Bowls later, you know.
Yeah, and don't you think one of the reasons we're having such a hard time with him is because, and this gets back to why it's so hard for the people that actually draft players, he's gotten a lot better. When teams draft a player in any sport, they're guessing how much better a guy's going to get, but you don't know. And Brock Purdy he's improved since he was drafted maybe more than any player we've ever seen.
And this is where I give Kyle Shanahan a ton of credit. You know, I've talked, you know, bad about Shanahan. You know, he got to get it done this year. But he has empowered Brock Purdy. He has instilled confidence. And I've said it time and time again, when a player has not only the belief of his coach, but also the belief in himself, and it feels like he could do anything on it, that confidence is hard to shake. And so with Brock Purdy now, 20 of 21 this past week, and he is confident. He is confident in his ability. He's confident in his coaching staff and his teammates, and he knows he has the blessing, the backing of his coaching staff. And so Kyle Shanahan, to me, has really instilled so much confidence. I wish he would have did the same thing with Trey Lance. I wish he would have, you know, stuck with it with Jimmy Garoppolo and instilled that same. But what's going to happen that first game where Brock Purdy does turn it over two or three times, three interceptions? What's Kyle going to say afterwards? You know, right now everything's all warm and fuzzy and rosy. Right. He's the perfect quarterback. Kyle Shanahan, you know, saying he's the real deal. You know, it's blasphemous that he's a system quarterback. But when things get a little rocky, is Kyle going to have that same belief in Brock?
Let me give you a partial comp. In some ways, Brock is similar to this guy. He's an Eagle guy, and you're going to scoff. Oh. But I'm just talking about part of his game. The low interception percentage, didn't throw picks, high completion percentage, Donovan McNabb.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you, you know. And I would say second half of his career, Donovan, because Donovan McNabb used to be able to beat you with his legs, too. And then all of a sudden he stopped running, but then he became a tremendous pocket passer as well. And so I like that comparison. I like that a lot.
Yeah. All right, good.
All right. We agree. Okay.
Yeah. Kenny Stabler gets a mention. Mark
Bolger. Wow. Gee. We're just throwing out names right now.
Well, that just says it all. It's like this guy, all of them, you go, kind of. Right?
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, we'll resume that conversation as well here. Today and through tomorrow as we get ready for the 49ers and the Cowboys. I want to just touch – well, actually, we got to take a time out here. I apologize. Yeah. We'll get to what's going on WNBA-wise
I want to talk about that.
And also, we got to get to what John Hollinger had to say about your Sacramento Kings. So we're back to basketball next year. Drive Guys, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.